Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I want to welcome you to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. Amen. We have been talking about growing in God, right? We have been talking about how we should grow, some of the tools that are needed to grow. And the ultimate grower is God. Amen. We plant the seeds, someone else comes along and waters it, but ultimately, God makes it grow. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about how do you know if you're growing? We've gotten so much instruction already, so much word from Steve that we should be able to determine if we're growing or not. This morning I want to give you some tools, some measuring tools to see if you are actually growing in Christ. Amen? Amen. I get a chance to. One of the ways we can find out that we're growing is visual. Amen? A seedling to a little plant to a full-grown tree. We're able to see those things. They are visual. We'll know that we are growing because we can actually see them. Here's another example. I get a chance to, this is our youngest grandson. He was a couple of months old. I think he was about 3 months old. Here he is a year later with his baby sister. We see the growth, right? There he is at 2 years old. Just as cute as he can be, right? I know. And here he is just this past Christmas. 3 years old. But we see the progression. We see how he's growing. It's something that's visual to us. Amen? This morning, oh, I forgot about that. We can see ourselves growing, amen? Amen. Growth is visual, all right? Be turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to talk about growth and how we can measure ourselves to see if we are actually growing in Christ, amen? We can say one thing. We can give the appearance of growth, but growth is personal. Growth is something that no one else can measure but us. Amen? Nothing anyone can say can determine how we are growing and progressing in Christ. But we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 9. We're going to see a lot of scripture today. All right? For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, I've highlighted some of these words in this passage, and now you're going to see a few more as we go along. But look at this. Look at this for a second. Verse 10, live a life worthy of the Lord. That's one measure to see if you're growing. Please him in every way. Our lives should reflect the gratitude of what God has given to us. And it also should reflect what we give back to him, to our brothers and sisters, to the community, in life. And it says, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing, that's an action word. That's something that we have to be doing in order for us to have every good work. And then it says, growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. How do you grow in the knowledge of God? It's a good question, right? I think one of the first things you have to do is have a relationship with God. Amen. The second thing you have to do is be in the Word of God. Amen? Quiet times, meditation, the times where you spend that compassionate time with the Lord. Growing in knowledge. Let's look at that for a second. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is probably one of the best books in terms of learning, wisdom, and knowledge. Solomon was a wise man because he asked God for wisdom. We should be asking God for the same thing. We should be asking God for helping us to grow in the knowledge of him. Amen? Let's see what it says. The proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction and understanding words of insight. For receiving instruction and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young and old. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge of God. In order for us to be able to measure where we are, we first have to have that fear of God, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. But after that, there's something else that has to happen. It tells us, Solomon tells us that for receiving instruction and prudent behavior, we have to have the knowledge of God. For us to be wise and to add to our learning, we have to have the knowledge of God. It doesn't come naturally, but comes through prayer. It comes through meditation again. It comes through reading the Word. Amen. Let's look over at the second chapter of Proverbs. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now again, I have these highlighted for a particular reason. Because, again, these are actions that we have to take in order for us to know if we're growing or not. If you accept my words and store up my commands in you, where'd that come from? Study, prayer, reading God's word. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. We have wisdom, get wisdom from not only God's word, we have brothers and sisters here who are wise, who that we can get great advice from. Applying your heart to understanding. See, we can read, we can study, but it's the application. If you're not applying what you're reading, if you're not applying what you're learning, if you're not applying what knowledge you've gained, what good is it? What good is it? It's like a child preparing for a test. And they have the lesson in front of them. They see the words, they look at the words, but if there's no application, if they're not able to apply that lesson, what they've studied, onto that test, what good is it? Our lives are the same way. We have to be able to apply what we've learned, what we are learning, to our hearts in order for us to grow in Christ. Amen? It says, call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Again, action words, crying out to God. It says crying aloud for understanding. How often do we pray to God? Father, give me the wisdom. Father, give me the understanding. Father, help me to grow in the knowledge of you. That's something we have to do from a personal standpoint, on a personal basis. It says, if you look for it as for silver, gold, lottery, whatever you're looking for, if you look at it with that heart, you're going to find it. Search for it as for a hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will understand and find the knowledge of God. And look at verse 6. God wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to apply it to our hearts. But we have to ask for it. Solomon asked for wisdom. And look what happened. He was the wisest man that we know in God's word. Amen? Amen. Growing in knowledge begins with your personal Bible study and your walk with God. Now, and it says here, this is measurable. So the question is, how much time am I spending with God? You can measure your growth by the amount of time that you're spending in God's word. You can measure your growth in how much time you're walking with God. Now, if your life is get up in the morning, shower, get ready for work, drive to work, work, come home, boom, dinner with family, you got to figure out how much time am I able to spend with God. God is a God who requires exclusive devotion, the Bible tells us. So if we are not spending that time with God, we've got to check ourselves. And we can check ourselves. Well, where is my time going? Amen? So, wisdom comes from walking with God, personal Bible study, and asking God for wisdom. Here's the thing that we can tell that we're growing in. Relationships. We have a very diverse congregation. We have old, young, African American, white, Asian, Hispanic. We have all cultures. We have millennials. And we have me. We have many, many different ranges of age groups. My question to you is, us old folks, are we getting with the millennials? Are we spending time with them? Our African-American brothers, are you getting with your white brothers? Are you getting with your Asian brothers? Are you getting with your Hispanic brothers? We have so much in this church. And not only that, we have to make sure we're spending time outside of this congregation. We have people at work. What kind of relationships do we have with them? Who do they see us as? Okay? We have to make sure that we are spending time in relationships. And let me tell you why. I don't know if you can read this. We'll start Romans chapter 12, verse 10. These are, I wrote down just a few, one another scriptures. Paul talks about it throughout the different churches. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. One another. Who are the one another's in your life? One another. Honor one another above yourselves. That means we should be humble in talking about in our lives, all right? It says in Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. I really appreciate Steve's classes, how to be godly in an ungodly world. You know, we are faced with so much adversity just in this world that we need one another, okay? We have to have that camaraderie among brothers and sisters in order for us to be able to just survive what's going on in this society. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves has fulfilled the law. How much time are we spending with our brothers and sisters? This is measurable. This is how you can tell if you're growing, amen? This is something that we can use as a catalyst, as a standing point to find out if we are growing in our relationships. We have to make sure that we're getting with folks. My wife says, how's it going to be in heaven? I said, you can't be alone in heaven. You got to make sure that you have relationships, right? You just can't be in your own little corner. You're going to have your own room, don't misunderstand. But you got to come out that room. We're going to be worshiping God all together, right? So we got to make sure that we have those relationships. And it starts right here. That's how we can tell if we're growing in Christ or not, by our relationships. Romans 14:13, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. I think we're all kind of guilty of that. Another tool to measure if you're growing in Christ. Stop judging. Who are we to judge? Someone else is serving, God tells us. We're not. Accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Because of the diversity that we have, sometimes that could be difficult, or we make it difficult. But we have to learn to accept one another. Accept one another's political views. Okay? Accept one another's cultures. There are so many things that we can look at to build the gap between man and woman, brother and sister, black, Asian, Hispanic, white. This is how we do it. We have to be able to have those relationships and accept one another. Now, that does not mean we don't have relationships because of a personal view. No, it's just the opposite. We got to make sure that we are accepting one another. 15:14, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I think that's important, to be able to teach each other. I can learn from Dearest Andrews. I can learn from Daniel Schultz. They're much younger than me, but they have wisdom that I don't have. Kyle can learn from me because I have wisdom that he doesn't have. Because of my age, because of my experience. But we can help one another. That's the thing about it. And that's what that's what Paul is trying to tell us. We need to have relationships to be able to help one another. So, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Sometimes we walk right past a brother and sister without acknowledging them. That's a measure of growth. We have to make sure that we're greeting one another, not necessarily with a holy kiss, but with that love, that hug, okay? That's the way we can tell if we're growing in Christ or not, if we are actually loving one another. Now, if you notice so far, what we talked about are action words. There's something that we have to do, we must do in order to grow in Christ. And here's something I want to warn us about. Do not become stagnant. This is a picture of water. What is that water doing? It's just standing there. Just standing there. It has no use at all. Those crops are dying because that water is not being moved to the different parts of the field. This is a picture of stagnant water. You see the moss that has developed on it. You see that, again, it is stationary. It's not moving. Do not become stagnant. Becoming stagnant and not growing will cause us to be like the branches discussed in John 15. Let's turn there for a second. John 15 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can," there it is again, "bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And see, here again, Jesus is telling us we have to be a part of that vine. We are all a part of that vine. So we have to have those relationships in order for us to remain in Christ. Amen? It says, if I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why relationships, again, are so important. That's why the growing in the knowledge of God is so important. That's why that personal Bible study, that personal walk with God is so vital. It says, if you don't remain in me, and you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. We don't want to become stagnant. When we feel, and again, that is measurable. When we feel ourselves getting in that slump, and we've all been there, we've all had those moments where, man, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Boy, I don't feel like going to church today. And find some reason that we don't do these things. First of all, Satan is just having a field day, okay? Secondly, we got to make sure that we have relationships, again, that can encourage us, that can lift us up when we fall into those little pits, if you will. We got to make sure that we have people in our lives to help us through those tough times. But if we don't, if we are stagnant, that's all the more reason for Satan to take advantage of us. And that's the last thing we want to happen. We don't want to be that last verse where we are those branches that are picked and thrown into the fire. We don't want to be that way. So we want to make sure that we have people in our lives. We have personal Bible study. We have that walk with God that can help us to get to where we're trying to get to. The ultimate place in heaven. So these are ways that you can tell if you are growing in Christ. You can tell by your personal growth, what you can actually see. You can tell by how much time you spend in God's Word, how you're growing in God's Word. You can tell by your relationships. You can tell by how, if you're judging or not. There are many ways to find out, to measure how you're growing in Christ. So I want you to think about that for a second. 1 Peter 2, I'm going to kind of close out a little bit here. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. There's another action word. Crave. We have to want to relish on God's word. We have to want to have God's word in our hearts. We have to want to grow those relationships in order for us to help one another. We have to crave. Crave means there's an earnestness, an eagerness, a desire to have something. And that's the heart we have to have. We have to crave that pure spiritual milk. And don't misunderstand. There are a lot of types of milk out there, okay? You got your soy milk. You got your almond milk. You got your whole milk, okay? There's a lot of milk out there. But you got to make sure that the milk that you are craving is pure. It's pure. Where do you find that pure milk? God's word. God's word. And it says to crave it so that you may what? Grow. That's what we're talking about this year. So that we may grow in our relationship with Christ. So that we can grow in our knowledge of Christ. So that we may grow in our salvation. You know, the world doesn't know this. The world doesn't have this. We want to have that thirst for God. We want to have that yearning to be fed spiritually. We want to have that same zeal that we had when we were baby Christians. You know how it was. We used to go out. We would talk to anybody and everybody. Hey, do you know about Christ? Let me tell you about him. That same zeal is what Peter is talking about right here. That baby Christian zeal for God. That's what he's talking about. So, with that being said, we know how Christ saved our lives. We know that because of that zeal, because of that thirst, because of that craving that we had, Christ came into our lives. We want to make sure that we are not stingy with what we've had, but to give back to the world what we have received in Christ. Amen? Amen? I want you all to have a great day. Thank you so much. Growing in Christ is measurable, and you can tell by your personal relationship with God. May your favorite team win, and have a great afternoon. Thank you.